प्रकार के श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु के
Thank you. Are not only full of spiritual instruction,
but are also instructive in how to prosecute material resistance very nicely with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. David Hussey asked her husband, therefore, how to prepare herself for sex life according to the Vedic instructions. Sex life is especially meant for having good children. The circumstances for creating good children are mentioned in Kama Shastra, the scripture in which suitable arrangements are prescribed for factually glorious sex life. Everything needed is mentioned in the scriptures. What sort of house and decorations there should be, what sort of dress the wife should have, how she should be decorated with ointments, scents, and other attractive features, etc. And with these requisites fulfilled, the husband will be attracted by her beauty, and a favorable mental situation will be created. The mental situation at the time of sex life may then be transferred into the womb of the wife. And good children can come out of that pregnancy. Here is a special reference to Devahuti's body features. Because she had become skinny, she feared that her body might have no attraction for Karakama. She wanted to be instructed how to improve her bodily condition in order to attract her husband. Sexual intercourse in which the husband is attracted to the wife is sure to produce a male child. The sexual intercourse based on the attraction of the wife to the husband may produce a girl. That is mentioned in the Ayurveda. When the passion of the woman is greater, there is a chance of the girls being born. When the passion of the man is greater, then there is the possibility of a son. Devahuti wanted the passion of her husband to be increased by the arrangement mentioned in the Kama Shastra. She wanted him to instruct her in that way. And she also requested that he arrange for a suitable house, because the hermitage in which Karnala Muni was living was very simple and completely in the mode of goodness, and there was less possibility of passion being aroused in his heart. The Trinity scripture of the Shiv Chaya taught the day of Shabu, Yay Naisha Dei Kashito Tiri Nam Sayatma, Sidye Tate Kutamano Baba Darsha Tatina, Dinas Tanisha Baba Nam Sadisham Vishashma. David, if you continue, my dear Lord, I am struck by excited emotion for you. Therefore, kindly make what arrangements must be made according to the scriptures. Shri Shri Raja Rama Shri Giri Goda Rama Shri Shri Tati Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Therefore, kindly make what arrangements must be made according to the scriptures, so that my skinny body, emaciated by unsatisfied passion, may be rendered fit for you. Also, my Lord, please think of a suitable house for this purpose. Namaha Vishnuve Vishnukasadhuve Smarakulata Sandhikanane Namaste Sarasvati Vede Gora Chaka Nira Shesha Shamirai Vasvijare Chaka Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gopi Chanaka Shri Adhita Nashima Sikhor Bhagavata Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Much help to understand the sinful nature. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Well, this is not exactly what sannyasi is, or certainly is, would really be so if we too all the different elements of this sort of picture. But as Sri Prabhupada points out, the Vedic literatures are not only for spiritual instruction, but are also instructive in how to prosecute material existence very nicely with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. Yes. So, anyway, so here it is. And what we will look at, I won't go so much into the details of all these, the sort of mechanics of how this type of operation works, but there are definitely principles here which are very broad and it's not just very important but essential for Krishna consciousness. To begin with, though, I want to actually make a point which I stumbled on, would you believe, during the kids' session. I meant to have a look. I wanted to have a look at Srila Krishna Chakrabarti Thakura's commentary on this verse and the previous verse 10. I can't look at them now because the telephones are busy otherwise. So. But I just happened to stumble on the purport, Srila Krishna Chakrabarti Thakura's purport for the verse yesterday, number 10. And I was thinking, well, I wasn't actually thinking at the time, but I just happened to see. Although I had thought a little yesterday, how his holiness Raghu Nidhara said yesterday that he had heard, I asked him about the class, he couldn't remember exactly from who or where or what was the reference or, you know, how he could possibly check on it or anything of that sort. But the idea that Devahuti didn't actually say, you know, vocally, audibly, what is being stated here in the verses that she said. And so I just was considering for something else in regard to today's verse and this, the Kama Shastra, which comes from a particular person. And I had looked yesterday and I saw Krishna Chakrabarti Thakura mentioned the name of the person. Vatsyayana. Vatsyayana. Right. He's the specialist in this Kama Shastra. All these sorts of things. And I looked it up also in in a sort of like Puranic encyclopedia. And yeah, it's a big subject. It's a big subject. It's not a small subject at all. But the thing that I just stumbled on this morning was that Srila Krishna Chakrabarti Thakura, his purport for yesterday's verse, says, actually, Devahuti did not speak these things, but just through, I can't look at it, just check again. But basically, body language, through different gestures and, yeah, bodily expressions, no vocal expression, she conveyed to Kardana Muni all these things. It's amazing. It's a whole conversation at least from her side, with all these detailed points. no doubt saying it to him. And then, I mentioned to her that she's the same way, talking a little bit about it after the class. In a sense, it doesn't matter whether it's actually vocalized, or you could say, whether it's just raised, or whether it's expressed in some other way, but in a very clear other way, that the message is clear. This is what it's about. The main point is the message. And even telepathic communication, without words, is definitely clear. And various other things, different languages, what to us may sound like total, is just totally meaningless, mumbo jumbo, to someone else, is just full of meaning. So anyway, that's an interesting point. That, which Rajapati Thakur, he says that she didn't say anything. It was just through bodily gestures that she expressed all these things. Like yesterday, verse 10, that, thank you, it's really nice that you want to give me this elevated, God realization and all the information in regard to that. That's just wonderful. But first, I want to get this business of having a child taken care of. Then we got realization. Yes. Right, it's interesting, isn't it? In fact, the book says, she desired from the beginning that first she be pregnant, and then she be empowered with the achievement of God's grace and love of God. Hare Krishna. But it's all part of what is mentioned here. In fact, the very first sentence in Prabhupada's purport, which we just read again a few minutes ago, that Vedic literatures are not only full of spiritual instruction, but also instructed in how to prosecute material existence very nicely, with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. This Vatsyaya and the Karma Shastras. Part of it, or maybe all of it, I'm not sure, but at least part of it, is known to, I don't know how many people, but some people in the Western world, as Karma Sutra. Maybe you've heard of that. I definitely know that, at least in my youth. And Karma Sutra is taken basically to be, it's like Vedic pornography, actually. It's all that sort of thing. In literary form. But it's just, anyway, like I said, it's a deep subject. There's so much information. If I remember correctly when I read last night, five divisions of it. But here, Prabhupada, the point is, Prabhupada's point is, it's not just pornography in a literary form. Although people who have a certain type of mentality, I will definitely see it like that. But actually, it's all part of the whole process, the conclusion of which is how to achieve the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection, even having gone through that, the process of sex life, but in certain ways, and the purport ultimately is that the people take to Krishna consciousness. I mean, not just take to Krishna consciousness, but it's done in Krishna consciousness, and then afterwards they come to perfection in Krishna consciousness. It's kind of like karma kandiya. Well, it's not kind of like, it is. It's the same idea. That karma kandiya, karma kandiya, that the aim is that it's, well, that one would go through. It's materialistic. Worshipping different demigods, doing different sacrifices, and whatever different procedures from the Vedic scriptures under the direction of qualified Brahmins. But it's done in such a way that when you've sort of graduated, when you've been through karma kandiya, you are now ready for Krishna consciousness as a, like a natural sequence, as a natural sequence. And not just like this is some other thing now, but there's a natural step from karma kandiya properly performed under proper supervision by ultimately Krishna conscious Brahman devotees, that one would just in a natural way step into a more direct form of Krishna consciousness. So it's not like, you know, something totally different. But if one goes to India, well, not just goes to India, if one goes to any Hindu house in Chatsworth, and ask them about their practice of Hinduism, you'll generally find, unless they've had contact with devotees or our sort of devotees, at least to some degree, they'll tell you Hinduism, yes. And then they'll give you some sort of version of karma kandiya. That this is what Hinduism is. We worship the gods and so on for a better life. It's just, yeah. So they don't understand, and this is one of the great, you could say, violences which has been done by unqualified creatures, like impersonalists, actual impersonalists, and others who are impersonally tinged, and others who are creatures, but they just don't understand. And they feel that if we promote karma kandiya, then we will do very nicely. Because if people are successful in karma kandiya and they become wealthy and like that particularly, then they will remunerate us nicely. This is one thing mentioned in the 8th canto, where Shukracharya is protesting against Dali Maharaja's decision to surrender to Lord Rama and to just hand everything over, the whole universe. And the point is made, he makes many points, he tries to. Why you shouldn't just let this Rama have his 3 steps? Because he's going to take everything. Rama has not done it yet, but Shukracharya understands this is what's going to happen. So one of the points he makes is that if you do that, then you're going to become sort of penniless, or be, you know, in a very reduced material situation, and therefore you won't be able to pay me. You won't be able to subsidize my very nice lifestyle by making good donations after we do the very nice karma. Arabic at the end. Sacrifices and all. Yeah, he protests exactly like that. So the self-interest, the lack of a Krishna-conscious motivation is just so blatant. It's criminal, actually. It's spiritually criminal. So there's been a history like that in what is today called Hinduism, that the promoters and presenters and preachers of it, they have, in so many cases, either had misconceptions like impersonal ideas, so common, or they're thinking that how can we preach and direct the people in such ways that they will be materially successful, and as a result, they will remunerate us nicely, and we will be materially successful, to the neglect, more or less total neglect, of what is the structure of the Vedic scriptures. The Karma Kriya is not an end in itself. It's a step. You know, we hear from the commentaries of the previous acharyas, Prabhupada doesn't use the exact terminology so much. I mean, he uses it to some degree, but the previous acharyas use a particular terminology, what they call the yoga ladder. And there are different steps. And it begins from Karma Kriya. And then it goes up into Karma Yoga, or some not exactly direct form of yoga, which has Krishna involved. And then eventually comes to the point of simply focusing on Krishna in pure Krishna consciousness and Bhakti Yoga. And this they refer to as the Yoga Nadi. The whole thing is like an inclusive process from beginning to end. It's not as Srila Prabhupada said once, or at least once Prabhupada said, that some people, or many people even, they think he was talking about Bhagavad Gita, in which Lord Krishna presents many different processes, at least very briefly. And then, of course, in due course, he focuses on Bhakti Yoga. But before he really does that, he describes briefly numerous other, the main other Vedic processes. So Srila Prabhupada made the point that therefore many people from that sort of background, Hindu type background, Vedic type, they have the idea, because they've received like guidance in Bhagavad Gita from unqualified people, they have the idea, Prabhupada said, that Bhagavad Gita is like a box of something like a box of religious assorted chocolates or sweets. There's a big box, and it's got many varieties. And you can choose. The box is open. You just go ahead and you just choose as you like. So some person, you know, in such a case, or shall we use the example of a box, a big box of assorted Diwali sweets, then someone chooses a burpee, one type of burpee, maybe a cashew burpee, and someone else chooses some other type of burpee, someone else chooses the sandesh, someone else chooses the laddu, someone chooses laddu, someone chooses, you know, rust and lye, they've got good taste, obviously. And someone chooses chum chum, and they've probably got very good taste. But it's just done in terms of the individual's taste. There is no hierarchy, objectively or in any terms, as to which sweet is actually better. It's just a matter of personal taste. So Shivananda used that type of idea to illustrate the point that many people think the Bhagavad Gita is like a box of assorted chocolates. And someone likes the one with the peppermint center, someone likes the one with the strawberry center, someone likes the hard one, and someone likes the toffee one, or whatever, you know what I mean. And it's just personal taste. It's got nothing to do with if there are different levels in fact. But if I could either they're definitely different levels. And in fact there is a sequence from level to level, culminating in pure Krishna consciousness and love of God. Yes. Madana Bhagavata. I was just reading day before yesterday, just sort of doing some research for the Demons and the Anathas course, and I was looking through Bhakti Sandhava of Yudhika Swami, and Shiva Yudhika Swami makes the point. It's in a particular context. It's in a particular context of understanding the six verses, or the five verses and that which lead up to that verse and that verse in a particular context. And he says there, given this way, who, you know, anyway, he's Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur is very sort of colorful presenter. Jiva Goswami is more sort of cool, or I don't know what to say, but not as colorful at least, put it that way, generally. But there he says that when Krishna speaks that verse, 1865, Madhana Bhagavad Gita, which is kind of like the culmination of the Bhagavad Gita, at least it's part of it, for sure. And he says, Lord Krishna, when he speaks this verse, he has tears in his eyes. He's feeling deeply moved by the elevated and beautiful nature of this, of the person, the devotee, coming to this point of entering into a loving relationship with him. Deeply moved by it. Yeah, so the people overlook that, or they just don't know it. And it's a shame. It's worse than a shame. It's actually spiritually criminal. So, you know, we don't need to go into all the details here of how this Karma Shastra works and what you should do if you should or not do, and so on and so forth. But there's a principle here. There's a principle here. And Devahuti and Kardama, they're aware of the principle. Devahuti is not thinking about let's enjoy life and have a child, you know, the child comes along. So what she's thinking, she is saying in this verse that I am very attracted to you. And as Prabhupada describes in the purport, that I'm in such a condition then I can understand you cannot be attracted to me. Yeah. You can't be attracted to me because look at me. I am just totally, well, the word emaciated is used. And emaciated, that's like, you know, some person who's almost walking last legs. Just starving. It's not like on a diet losing some weight or you know, something like that. Emaciated is extreme condition of having been severely deprived of food and drink, probably, and physically looking terrible. Whereas it appears that Karadama, well, he's been living this way of life for a long time, 10,000 years. And he is sort of, in whatever ways, adjusted to it. So he is, it seems, looking pretty good. And she's worried. You know, you've got to help me with this. Because otherwise, we're going to have a girl child. Because I'm so attracted to you, because you, you know, everything is fine with you. But look at me, I look like a wreck. A total wreck. Yeah. So she's appealing to him like that. You know, we want actually to have a male child. That's what we want. We want a male child. But in order to do this, you have to really get into action here as a husband. It's interesting in Vishnu Chakravartaka's purport to this verse of error. You know, it'd be interesting to read it, just the first sentence. She makes it an almost sarcastic way. I mean, it's sort of indirectly. It's attributed to her that, come on, what is this grass hut? What sort of enthusiasm are we going to get together in this grass hut? A one-roomed hut, which could probably be washed away if there's a decent straw. Yes, so, but the whole idea is that this is a step for both of them towards becoming fully Krishna conscious ultimately. Child first, and for both of them, child first, and perfection in Krishna consciousness after that. But if we're going to have the child first, then let's just do it in a really sort of, you could say, in those terms, the most constructive way possible for the greatest success possible in having the best child possible, even an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So, Hare Krishna, any comments or questions? Maharaj, our usual team of questioners.
Are you okay?
For it. That can be explained in vague terms. In fact, Maharaj mentioned basically the idea, I mean, part of it is the putra, a male child has the potency to deliver the parents to deliver them even from material life altogether. female child generally doesn't have that potency. Yeah. And therefore, to have a male child, for those who are really spiritually minded, they really would like to be liberated. To have a male child, it would be greatly advantageous, spiritually. That's the point. Yeah.
I remember the fact that reading back from the Bible, it's sort of difficult. And how much you must have or disciples, what to learn from disciples, not us. But I'm thinking about so she took like the cows and then she was very beautiful and then took the leaves and then the things there in the water so that when they moved into the water and leaves then the leaves, the cows that came from there can have like spots to mark that this is my produce and this is my produce. So that she is doing kind of like what the situation in one certain child wants to set up in a certain society.
Yeah. I don't know if we're getting to the point that in the Bible there's some example with cows of having the mate under certain particular circumstances so that particular types of cows will come from them. Yeah. And so sometimes they well, you know, in the main literatures, everything is extremely scientific. It's extremely scientific. And therefore, Prabhupada used the language here that, well, Prabhupada just uses the term possibility, not stronger than that. But, you know, if the husband is attracted to the wife more, well, it says, sexual intercourse in which the husband is attracted to the wife is sure to produce a male child. Scientific. Sure to produce. Yeah. So it's like, you know, everything in Vedic tradition is like that. And everything in Christian consciousness is like that. If you do like this, you will get resolve things, not you may get, or get something for the best that you get, or something like that. But if one executes the process of Krishna consciousness properly under the supervision of someone like Srila Prabhupada, particularly, then it will work. And the stated, or sorry, you could almost say, claimed results. Proposed results will come. Yeah. And that's one of the wonderful things about Krishna consciousness, which, at least in many ways, distinguishes it from other processes. At least, I mean, I'm not saying completely, but in many ways. Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions from the National Department? Anyway, they're doing the national service, it's very nice. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.